Okay, so it's anyway, it's unbelievably snowfall in April 15th, 2018. Today we're visiting with Gary McAndrew, and Gary goes back a ways as far as memories of the West Dubuque School District in different fashions. Maybe I would like to go back, Gary, if you would, to your younger years. You grew up in Piasta.
Sure.
Give me a little background on
school
and your family. And
sure. I grew up in Piasta. My dad, Joe, and my mom, Ethel. My mom was a school teacher, a one-room school teacher in Otter Creek, Swingle area. Then when my siblings were born, she stayed home with us. My older brother, Tom, went to Western Dubuque, graduated in 1965. A school building anyway in Piasta before the high school. I think he ended up at the high school maybe 65. I can't remember exactly if he started at Piasta. I think finished in Epworth. My sister Sally and Nancy both went to Farley St. Joe's. I graduated from Western Dubuque in 1979. And when I was a freshman, all of the Cascade Aquin was still open, so we had a lot of Cascade students at the old Farley St. Joe's Annex, I think it was called.
The Annex.
So my freshman year, we had a lot of Cascade students, and then my sophomore year, they had the option of going to Cascade. Cascade opened up, so we lost a lot of kids that went back to Cascade. Some of them, I don't know what the breakdown was, but some of them stayed, even though they're from Cascade, graduated from high school in Epworth. So
you were, what are your memories of some of your teachers back in those days?
As you look back, I wish I appreciated more of them when you're in high school, but you really did have some great teachers. Miss Williams, who seemed like she was 110 at the time, but she actually was on oxygen sometimes in our chemistry class, but she was very good. Jerry Schmidt, Mr. Schmidt was an awesome teacher. Mr. Danner, who's, I understand, retiring this year. Ron Danker was my freshman basketball coach and my baseball coach. Paul Schramm was my sophomore basketball coach, and George Maurer and Steve Finley were varsity and assistant varsity when I was in basketball. So
he did baseball was
baseball and basketball. My dad, I'd help him. He sold fertilizer to farmers, so I could only go out for two sports. So I chose baseball and basketball. I wish I would have been able to play football, but those are the only two I could do anyway. So
who was baseball? Who was baseball coach?
Ron Danker was the coach. Yeah, okay. And we actually had a good team. Scotty Harris, myself, Bobby Schmidt. We actually had a pretty good. We won the conference my senior year, and I think our junior year, we got second, something like that. But it was pretty competitive. Cascade, there's a lot of good teams back then. So,
don't you get your early background in basketball and baseball? Back then, there weren't too many teaching areas that were provided for kids back in those days.
No, I was lucky where I lived. We lived next to the old, that we call it the Coliseum in Piasta, the old gym. And so we had a key that we could go in at night, and the janitor, there was an old guy that was a janitor, Joe Cole, but as long as we shut the lights off and took care of it, cleaned up. So yeah, we played a lot of basketball. I actually had baseball was probably my best sport. I played on the Legion team. I was going to go to Wartburg, smaller schools, but I ended up going to Iowa just to be a student. But I had a guy you may, and Jim McAndrew would have been my dad and his dad were first cousins, so I don't know what that second cousin. He's married to Rich and Pat O'Hare's sister.
Okay.
So that was he played for the Mets back in '69. I was a Cub fan, so he would get his tickets in there, and my dad wouldn't let me wear my Cubs shirt because we're sitting behind the Mets dugout. So that's kind of how I got a love for baseball, just tradition and listen to.
What's he doing now?
He was in Denver. The last I heard, he's retired. He got into real estate, and his son actually pitched for the Brewers, Jamie McAndrew.
Okay.
And they, Rich O'Hara told me a story that his son, Jamie was his name, pitched for the Brewers, but great baseball player and football player in Florida. That's when Jim was living in Florida at the time. He wanted to go to Iowa. Jim wanted him to go to Iowa. Hayden Fry was a coach, but they wouldn't let him punt and play baseball. It was one or the other. Florida let him do both, and he ended up being like an All-American punter and baseball pitcher. So another name, a relative, my dad, Hal Trosky. Have you ever heard that name from Norway?
Yeah.
So Hal was my dad's first cousin. And so I heard stories of him playing against, I mean, I was little, against Babe Ruth, and he hit one over. And if you saw the movie... the last season of Norway,
they talked about several times
him. They talked about Hal Trosky hitting one over a train that went by, and so Hal always talked about that. Whether he tend to add on a little bit as he get older, but so yeah, that's where my love for sports kind of came in from, some of my relatives. So
okay, so you continued to play some baseball then after college?
No, I did. Played for what have I graduated? I just played semi pro like for Piazza during like in high school and college. I came back and played. And then I moved to Des Moines. I worked for Principal Financial Group. And so if I'd be back in the area, I'd pitch or play for Piazza on weekends. But after college, I was pretty well done just playing softball and stuff after that. So, but it was great growing up, you know, in Western Dubuque. As you look back, you don't appreciate as much at the time, but it was great. But Mr. Buckman was... maybe when I was a freshman, I think. I can't remember if he was still there. I know I knew him, but I can't remember what year he left.
He left in 78 because I was there year.
So when did you come down?
78, 79.
Okay, yeah. Because we had Paul Knutson was there.
Yep.
And
seeing Harold and I came in together in 78, 79.
Yeah, yep.
And Paul was already there as assistant principal.
Right. So Paul was assistant to Mr. Buckman then?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because I knew Mr. Buckman, he had a son in my grade. Dave was a classmate of mine. So, I'm trying to think. Yeah, great teachers. Mr. Lynch was the Hermie was driver's ed teacher. One Monday we had to. He said he gave us an address we had to find. It was in New Vienna, Iowa. It was his mom's.
No cell phones.
Yeah. But anyway, so we got there and found out that he had left a cake pan there from like it was after Easter or something the day before. So yeah, it was great with Hermie and enjoyed all the teachers and stuff. So yeah. So yeah, I would rate the education was to be just the teachers and things.
So George Morrow was your
basketball coach, and he left. I'm not sure when he left. Actually,
he was there till about 83 or 4.
Was he okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
You remember some of the games or anything that stands out? Basketball.
Terry Steffen was a very good Mike Smith and I. Terry Steffen was a good player as a junior. I was a junior. He was a senior. He broke the record for
field goals. Or?
Yeah, he had, again. I think it's been broken by Doug Lampe, but he had like 41 or 2, which in those days we had no 3-point shot,
right.
So
yeah.
It was a lot of points. But
Spencer Holden took care of that.
Yeah, Spencer would take it. So our senior year, we thought we were rated like to start out the year, but we started out like 0-1. We played senior our first year, our first game, got beat 88-86 in double overtime, and they ended up winning state that year. So everybody thought we were going to be so good, but then we started out like 0-4, and we did decent, but nothing.
Yeah.
And then the last game of the year, since we had played so well against senior in the first game, we thought we would give them a good game, but I think we lost by like 15. It was, but they ended up winning state. They were very good that year. Yeah, they were good. So it was a lot of fun anyway. So. Baseball, Bob Hinchin, some of the bus ride, a lot of fun. A lot of good players, Dean Steffen, when you look back, people that did well at semi-pro, I mean, a lot of them were from our grade, so it was fun anyway.
Remember any incidents or humorous things during the course of your high school?
You're probably waiting for me to talk about the pigeon incident. I was guessing you were asking about that.
You can add that if you want.
Yeah. That was... We had a lot of fun on baseball road trips. Just fun. I mean, just goofing around and. But yeah, the pigeon incident with that would have been 1979.
Right.
Dave Urban is no longer. A few people caught some pigeons anyway, and so the intent was to let them go during.
Pep rally was it?
No, during the game against Beckman.
Okay.
And so I knew that, because I knew that at that lunch hour, I was watching. My job was to watch the gym. That was my only involvement. Those guys, because they did a trial run to get back where the boiler was or something, is where they came through. And to be honest, I knew there it was supposed to happen. We went through warm-ups and nothing happened at all. You're doing layups, and then I kind of forgot about it. And then all of a sudden, right as the ball is ready to be tipped through, we were in this mid-circle. We're playing Beckman Cusick, would remember Wayne Cusick. And all of a sudden, the first one started flying, and they came out. So there was a little delay to the game, but
Oh my God!
It wasn't funny at the time. We thought it was funny, but it was, as you look back at it, it was kind of fun anyway. So that was probably the biggest prank.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
So okay, we went to Iowa and graduated, and
yeah.
Then you matriculated down to Des Moines, you said?
Right. So after I graduated from Iowa, I worked in at Principal Financial Group in Des Moines. I was there for about 10 years, not quite 10 years. I'd still be there. I mean, we loved Des Moines, loved living there. But at the time, my dad, he had a stroke, and I got a call from my sister, the first one, that they rushed him into surgery, and they didn't think he was going to make it. So started to reevaluate, and we had our first daughter, you know, so it'd be nice to get back closer to home, but there was nothing back in Dubuque at the time. So I found something, it was called Teleconnect at the time. So when I got to Principal Financial Group, it's about 4,000 people. It's a pretty good sized company. And the person that hired me, I was only in my job about 2 weeks, and he asked, I was hired as a financial analyst. He asked me if I'd ever want to get into human resources. I said, I have no idea. What do you do? So he explained to me they were expanding a lot at that time. They wanted to double their size, and like, you know, they're a very aggressive time frame. So so I got into HR, and basically I was a college recruiter for about 8 years. So I would travel from Florida State to California, all over the country, interviewing college graduates. And then the ones we were interested in, bring back to Des Moines. And then that's kind of the whole HR benefits. That's kind of how I got into human resources. I loved it. I've been fortunate to. So I talked to a lot of kids now, like at UD Loris. I was down in Iowa last week. Seniors graduating, what careers should I get into? And I said, there's a good chance that what you went to school with, you may not even use. You're going to change. I said, mine was just lucky, kind of lucked out. Actually, I tell them, the other thing I tell them is try to be nice to everyone you meet, because you never know when that person may be. So I was a freshman, and I had a law class. It was hard, and I didn't do as well as I wanted in the first test, and they said if you went to law school on the Saturday where in a jury for the law students, you could get extra points for your test. So I ended up with this. I went to it, and our first break on jury duty, there was an older guy. When I say older, he's probably 40 at the time, but when you're 18 or 19, and I was working in the kitchen at the hospital. It was my first semester, and so he just struck a conversation. I sat next to him. We started talking, and I was trying to be polite to him. And then he ended up being the manager of the business office at the hospital. And he was going to grad school. He's getting his MBA. So he hired me to be. So I worked with all the insurance through college at the hospital. I worked when a patient being there would handle all their insurance information. And we're kind of like a little bank. We'd cash checks. And so kind of like a little. Okay. Little mini insurance, and that's how that helped me get my job in Des Moines. So that's why I tell kids, you never know.
Isn't that interesting how that
just kind of things fell in place, and now you may switch. You never know what's going to happen in the future, type thing. So
you're in Des Moines about 8 years or
so? Eight or nine. And then we moved back to, we lived in Marion, actually not far from Linmar, for I was just there not even 2 years, and an opening came up. It was called William C. Brown Publishing Company at the time for an HR spot. So our ultimate goal was to get back to this area. We wanted to have our kids go to Western Dubuque, and I both went there. So then I was in HR at William C. Brown only for about a year, and we got purchased by McGraw-Hill, a large publishing company. So then I was on the road again. I was in the sales force doing hiring. We had an office in San Diego, went there a lot. Basically travel a lot, hiring their sales. I was in charge of the sales force, so did that. But we have four kids. We're fortunate all went to Western Dubuque, and So about 19 years ago, Dan Willenbring made me aware of an opening in HR at American Trust or somebody retiring.
Okay.
Because eventually I was going to have to move to New York City. 1 week a month I was in, for 2 years, 1 week a month I was in New York City. That's where my boss was. So they wanted me to move to New York. I was trying to stall as long as possible. Eventually I would have to move, and I had no interest in going there. So that's how I got into, thanks to Dan Willenbring, got into American Trust and have been there ever since. So,
okay.
But I feel fortunate that I've seen pretty much the whole country, you know, colleges, universities, and so, but yet, you know, this is where I would never want to live anywhere else. After seeing everywhere else, so, I would never want to live anywhere but here.
Still in the heartland.
Yeah. Although San Diego would be, if I ever won the lottery, that'd probably where I would end up.
That would be a good choice.
Yeah. And you have a connection to
down in Florida.
Pebbles Beach, don't you? Though, as far as, didn't you have an aunt or something? In,
you know, that really was interesting. I had my aunt, my aunt Elaine, lived in California forever, but they eventually moved to Monterey.
Monterey, yeah, because we had.
And, yep. And they first lived in an area called 17 Mile Drive.
Yep.
All around that area. Because I was out there a couple times when they were there. Eventually, then they moved to a duplex in Monterey.
Okay.
And overlooked Monterey Bay. It was
sure
a beautiful location. So I've been there. I've been to the AT&T, you know, a number of times.
Sure.
at any rate, let's see, she passed in 2000. And my cousin Nancy and her husband, they sold that place, and the place was nothing much for over, I know it was over $1 million.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, yeah.
At that time. Anyway, so yeah, that was a nice connection.
Yeah, beautiful.
That we had to be able to go out there. And the only thing that I reflect on is the fact that I was first out there in the 60s, and the peninsula, you know, since that time, unfortunately, as all things happen, it got more populated, and it got more. It wasn't as beautiful as,
sure,
as
sure
it was.
You yeah, know?
But
yeah,
that's what's going to happen. So
true.
Anyhow, so how'd you get tied into the school board at West Dubuque?
When I came back, I'm trying to remember what year I moved back from Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, but. Harold Knutson was the superintendent, and so I just wanted to get involved. I got involved with the school board. Our daughter was younger, but our oldest daughter, but just wanted to get booster clubs. You know, I still like sports and things, so you know, I ended up going to all the basketball and football and baseball games and things, and just got involved with that. Because of my HR background, I interviewed, I know Jerry Ross, I helped interview some of the for principal spots, and trying to think, a couple spots like that. Just got involved with that. And then Harold Knutson asked me if I was the, it was called the foundation. I think they had tried it maybe at one point, yeah, and it didn't go or whatever. And yeah, he just asked me if I would ever consider doing that. So he told me all about the Bobcat Foundation and trying to raise money for a gymnasium and auditorium, which we had failed numerous times.
Right.
But yeah, we got a good group together, so I was the president of that, and that, to be honest, that's when Harold asked me if I would do that.
Okay.
And but he was a lot of support. We had great community involvement. Obviously, AJ Spiegel was a big donor, but we had a group that did do well with that. And then right after that, Harold just asked me if I would ever consider running for school board.
Is that right about the time that the final, when the bond if sale tax
right before that?
Over.
Yeah. Yep. We had, I forget what our goal was, but we had raised a good chunk, but it was still not there. And then the sales tax came through, and it was just like, yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
We'd still be.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, I can't remember the time, you know, the year exactly.
102.
Was that okay? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So shortly after that, I was on the school board for 8 years. I can't remember.
Okay.
So I enjoyed being on the school board. I was, not to editorialize this, but I went to a lot of the meetings when, you know, for the foundation board trying on their behalf to the board, and it was a very, you know, Dean Napper, Joe Ertl, a lot of
dynamics going on.
Yeah,
there.
Those board, as you know, those board meetings were,
oh,
wow. So, and I was fortunate, I can't remember who I replaced, actually. But Tom Miner was on the board when I first started. I think he was just kind of, we were kind of passing. He might have been just getting off when I was on it, but I think I was on it for a little bit with him. But we had a great group. Yeah, so a great board. Bob McCabe was the president, and then he retired the last year I was on it. I was the president. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I started in 2010 getting involved with as a consultant with this search firm for superintendents. So that was taking more and more of my time, and I didn't want to have a conflict of interest. But the ultimate reason I got with the board was we had lived in Birds Acres. Our kids were all gone. Our youngest is a junior at Iowa now. We wanted to build a smaller. Actually, someone approached us about, would we ever consider selling our house? It's like, we hadn't really thought about it. We thought we'd just stay there forever, but it was a bigger, more bedrooms than we needed. And so I had talked to AJ about this area before we even moved over there. He said, that'll be the last thing we do. So I called AJ up. I said, hey, someone wants to buy our house. Are you ever going to develop that? He said, yeah, next spring. So we started building, and about halfway through, Dave Wegman called me one day and said, you're building, right? He said, yeah. Where's your address? I told him. He said, you're no longer in the... I was still in the Western District, yeah. But I was out of my
Director district.
Director district, yeah. I said, it's only probably a mile away. I said, I didn't realize that, but
is that the road then?
Thunder Hill Road is a cutoff, yeah. On that side, it's John Lembezeter.
Took your.
Yeah, yeah. But I would have had to run against Mark Tilson. I didn't want to do that, so yeah. I just said, I'll just bow out type thing. So John took my spot, but it goes up to like Rickardsville, up it goes north.
Where does this section go then?
It's pretty much just a Centralia. It just kind of goes down. There's so many people. It kind of goes down, maybe yeah. South, like to Bernard, maybe like that monastery area, or wherever it would be.
Yeah.
Because I know where I was at went farther north than I ever realized, and like towards Holy Cross up in there somewhere. So,
what are some of the things that happened that? During your experience as on the board
member,
that might have been surprising or an achievement or a big
deal. Yeah. Well, to be honest, and I tell people, I was on the board. I can't imagine being on a board at a better time, because I had attended all those meetings where there was all the confrontations and 4-1 votes, and it was not a pleasant time for. Yeah. So I admire any of those people that went through all that ahead of time, because Ivy Brahm and that group, they really they accomplished a lot. We were kind of. I was on the board at the time everything was being built, so the gymnasium. The auditorium, Piazza School.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So, yeah, we were just going to ribbon cuttings all the time, and it was great. But, no, there was, you know, it was involved with the Bernard School was being discussed, and what do they do with that? That was probably the most controversial topic. But otherwise, there was a lot of positive, a lot of great people on the board. Gene Coppola, Mark Tilson, Bob McCabe.
Yeah.
Or who was before. So yeah, no. The only negative was probably the Bernard issue, but
yeah.
I know that they had been through a lot of tough times, but we had a lot of positives. I mean, Piazza was growing, and a lot of positive things. So
yeah, yeah. You had a good time.
Yeah, as far as those other people, like John Howard. I mean, from Cascade, John Howard, and is it Napper? Al Napper or Al? Oh, I can't remember. Al Monernock, I think.
Okay, yeah, Al Monernock, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, they a lot of good people that they really had a lot of roadblocks in front of them. But when I joined the board, things were going smooth, and
yeah.
We had a lot done with schools and things just because there was really no opposition at all. So.
Yeah.
And obviously, as you mentioned, the sales tax was a win for everybody.
I know that I had a strong interview with Dave Wegman. As far as his role over the years, he came in the same year I did.
Okay.
We were hired together, and we played softball together for
sure
several years. But I believe, at least from what Dave told me, that he was able to come up with a plan to get a lot of stuff done building-wise.
Right.
He was a pretty sharp guy.
And this is not a knock on any superintendents we've ever had, but to be honest, Dave really was, he was the key to the district.
He was the man.
I was. We're closely with Dave on the board just because of all the new, know, buildings coming out. He was, he had a lot of great ideas and very, very, very involved with that. So
he knows where all the bodies are buried.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that, yeah, he was probably one of the, you don't want to pick any, you know, your top five, but he had to be one of the key people, employees of West Dubuque over the years. Obviously, yeah. Wayne Drexler, but Dave's right up there. I mean, he did a lot of great things. So,
yeah, Weggie and I did had some good travels and played a lot of ball. And
he was quite a pitcher, huh?
He was a good pitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, we started out together on the Lux Club and Henry's and driving in Dubuque.
Okay.
Let's see, George Peterson was the
Yeah, I remember that name. Yeah.
So Dave never started a lot of games, but I know that once that era was finished, he went to Cedar Rapids and played for Eastside Made Right.
Oh, okay.
He was the guy.
Okay.
He tells a great story about I don't know when this happened, but his brother, he has an identical.
Yeah, twin, yep.
Danny. He lives in Cedar Rapids. Well, he pitched down there, too.
Okay.
Well, Dave told me the circumstances, but something happened. Danny couldn't pitch. And he called Dave and he said, could you be me? Which he did.
He did, huh? Yeah. Did people figure it out or not?
Nobody figured it out.
Really?
He pitched the game and afterwards, he said, the catcher said, boy, you had some stuff I just haven't seen before.
Really? Oh, that is funny.
So
you played a lot of fast pitch then?
I played a lot of fast pitch. I played a lot of baseball, but fast pitch was...
Yeah.
You play a game in 7 innings,
sure.
2 hours,
yeah.
Baseball. And yeah, I played out of Dubuque with all those good teams, and I played in 4 world tournaments in Rock Island, Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma, California, Fresno, Green Bay.
Okay.
Back then there was 30 some teams. I mean, George was a good pitcher, but all those guys were.
Sure.
When they started winding up, you wanted to start swinging because it was coming in.
So Bob Dunham, a guy, he just retired last year. Do you remember Bob? He was at the board at Thunder Hills. Yeah. So I worked with him, and he talks about you. He said West Dubuque had some great employees, but also player you, and he said Larry Conroy was a very good hitter. He said you're a great hitter, Larry was a great hitter, and he said Wegman was a good pitcher.
Yeah.
So he said, yeah, you three were all good ball players. So.
Yeah. So anyway, that was some good experiences playing though.
So when I was in Cedar Rapids for a couple of years there, I was in HR there too, but payroll reported to me. I really did. There's a person that did it. I wasn't doing it myself, but so that was back when have you ever heard of Teleconnect when they were
those were really good teams.
Yeah, so that was my first. When I was in Des Moines, I actually played kind of like the county baseball around here. We had down there a little bit played, but not as much. Mainly softball. But so these guys, when I moved to Teleconnect, they knew I played baseball in high school. So somebody from Lynn Mar that I had played against said, "Oh, he played." So they got me on this company, but you had to be employed at the company. It was like an industrial league. I don't know what you call it, but so you had to be employed at Teleconnect or at Rockwell, whatever it was. So we had this league at Ellis Park, and there were some good pitchers, but the rise ball, I mean, I never baseball, I mean, I was a decent hitter, but curveball, you kind of had rise ball, and I never did get the hang of that.
The rise ball was a guess because you had to swing above.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
You saw it.
Yeah.
Hope for the best, but that's all you could do. Cause.
So these guys, Teleconnect, had... so we had just our industrial team. Again, they were mainly just a bunch of high school, nothing great. But then the Teleconnect team would play right after us a lot of times. Same park, same... Yeah. So Steve Kaiser, I remember him from Wisconsin.
Oh, good ball.
Yeah. And I played him against him in baseball. So he tried to help me because against him in baseball, I always get luck pitching. He was one of the guys. Sometimes he had better luck again. I did decent against him. So he would help me. And then Mike Delaney from Hempstead was on the team. So I knew both those guys. And then there was a Tranel from East Dubuque. So they would drive down to Cedar Rapids every week. And then they would travel all over the country. So I subbed one game, I think 2 games maybe. If they needed somebody, I'd go play right field. I was not one of their main guys. But we played like the Canadian national team. Yeah. Some guy named Chubb. He was huge, like 6'6", and great big guy. I mean, batted three times, struck out three times. I got a couple foul balls. That's what I was impressed with that. But wow, those guys were good.
See, back then they used to. What happened a lot of times, they would get these guys from Australia.
Yep, that's pitchers. I was going to New Zealand. Yeah,
and because their season was opposite weather-wise, and they'd come here. And
there's a little guy named Warren. So anyway, but back to HR. So at payroll, I'd see this guy, Warren something. He was making like, back then, that would have been late 80s or 90, early 90s maybe. But he was making like 48, 50 grand, and which was a decent salary. I'm thinking, I never knew who the guy was. So I remember I started in December. So like spring or May, I said, you know, who is this guy? He's like a ghost. He said, oh, he's the pitcher from New Zealand. So they paid him a salary, had him on payroll.
Wow.
And they flew up. He just came up in the summer and played and pitched, and he was good. A little guy that could drink beer. That guy could drink more beer and never be dry. I don't know how he did it, but and he threw hard. But yeah. So then those guys would fly. They flew all over on the, you know, yeah, there were some good players. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so Dunham and Toya, you and Larry Conrad and Wagner said you guys were all good fast. So I did much better in baseball. Fast pitch, yeah, I just struggled with the rise ball. I never could. Or a change, yeah, if somebody could throw a good change up, yeah, it would be.
He'd be sucking at it.
Yeah, exactly.
At nothing. Thanks, Gary, for the interview.
One last thing I'd like to add as a compliment to you, as you were administrator there for many years. Thank you for all your service. But I really do think, obviously, West Dubuque has up and downs. Every school does over the year. But when I go around, I've done about 20 searches for superintendents, and I set the bar at West Dubuque. I mean, the board we had, the school, the caliber of teachers. You go to some of these school districts or school boards, and I mean, they're fighting openly, just yelling at one another, and you could cut the tension with a knife. So when I look back at my experience, first of all, growing up here, and then having administrators like you and the district, I mean, West Dubuque, in my opinion, is you can't beat it type thing. So.
I mean, you've got a great spectrum of experience with your job, obviously, and you see what goes on in all the districts.
Yeah.
The dynamics and that sort of thing, and
yeah, so back to Wayne Drexler, you and Harold, all the veterans. We thank all you guys. So it's we wouldn't be here without you. So thank you.
You bet. Okay. Thanks.